Greetings and welcome on board WDKOK Sunrise. I'm Mark Lawrence. We have on the news line with us now Bishop Elizabeth Eaton of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. It is probably the largest third of the Lutheran congregations in the U.S. and is the main synod that covers much of the East Coast, although there's a scattering of other Lutherans among us. Bishop, thank you so much for making yourself available today.
Thank you, Mark. Glad to be here.
I really do appreciate it. And the observance of the 35th anniversary of the ELCA is the main springboard for our conversation. And these kind of anniversaries come and go, so sometimes they don't go with note. But I think this one's important. Drew together really some disparate, separated areas of the Lutheran Church and drew them into one in a really dynamic way. So tell our audience how this new ELCA is really still important today.
Thank you for the question. I, as a very young pastor, was present at the Constituting Assembly in 1987 in Columbus, Ohio, and I remember all the work that had been done previous to that. But it was the discernment of the three churches, the American Lutheran Church, the Lutheran Church in America, and the Association of Evangelical Lutheran Churches, that we could be more effective in giving the gospel free course in the world and pursuing ministries that would help to bring abundant life that Jesus wants for all people if we work together as opposed to in competition with each other or in redundancy with one another. So we took this decision. It was years in coming to become one church and not three different branches of the Lutheran family. Some people just said it was an attempt to get more market share or just become the biggest and the best, but and we hope we're at least worthy. But no, it really was driven by how we could be more effective in accomplishing the mission, which is to preach the gospel in its purity and administer the sacraments according to the gospel, and out of that center to serve people because we've been freed in Christ. I think it would be a significant witness to three pretty different strands of the Lutheran movement in the United States coming together. The ALC had a lot of Norwegians and Germans. The LCA had a lot of former Swedes. These are from the immigrant bodies from Europe who came over. Of course, there were folks who are, you know, Native American people and African descent folks who've been here a long time. And the AELC was born out of the split in the Missouri Synod. And so there are different pieties, different polities, but we said, nope, we can be more effective together than we can apart, and we can still then be a witness that we can have different, very important theological, spiritual backgrounds, but nevertheless can come together and be one as Christ intended for the church to be.
And no change in the mission. If you didn't read the mission statement of some of the other Lutheran churches in the U.S. or elsewhere around the world, if you didn't look at their mission or some of their specifics, you might never detect that there's a difference. You know, feeding the poor doesn't have anything to do with who you permit in the pulpit, and spreading the gospel really has nothing to do with your body politic, per se.
That's true, and in fact, in a couple of places, we still have pan-Lutheran cooperation. So in Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services, and also in Lutheran Services of America, that's still pan-Lutheran, where at least the ELCA and the Missouri Synod still work together to provide, you know, what I like to refer to, the abundant life that Jesus said he came to bring everyone.
And you've been around the world 20 times by my account of just following the goings-on of the church and the work that you do. A lot of folks around here might be like me, think, well, the Lutheran Church is down on the street corner. You know, it's where we go, it's where we walk or where we drive to for worship and for Sunday school and other activities. If our audience doesn't have it top of the mind, paint the picture of the global Lutheran Church for us.
One of the things that I thought we needed to have a conversation about when I was going through the election process is that we're church together. It's not just the local congregation, though the local congregation fully is the church, but it's not all of the church. And we have this connection in the Lutheran movement throughout the world. So a lot of our folks don't know that they're part of a conference or a synod, much less the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. But beyond that, through the Lutheran World Federation, we are 70-plus million strong, 100-and-some member churches, which would be like an entire denomination in 80-plus countries. In fact, most Lutherans in the world are not white. Most Lutherans in the world are people of color, and where the church is growing fastest right now is still in sub-Saharan Africa and in some places in Asia. So there are more Lutherans in Ethiopia and Tanzania than there are in the ELCA. So that's, but we also can do work together, service work, we would say, diaconal work. And the Lutheran World Federation is recognized by the UN as a premier partner in refugee work, either in camps for folks who are displaced or refugee resettlement. We also, that's the way that we can really be engaged in being church together beyond Lutherans as we engage in ecumenical dialogues. It was because of the work of the Lutheran World Federation, along with the Vatican, that we came up with the Joint Declaration on the Doctrine of Justification, which was a major step forward. In fact, probably the greatest step we took since the Reformation of repairing the breach and coming to understand some understanding about justification and grace. So that we do a lot. And then I think also, 2016. The year before the 500th anniversary, we did have a joint service, the LWF, with the Vatican in Lund, Sweden. And then after that liturgy, we retreated to a huge soccer stadium or football stadium, I'm sure they'd say, and ratified our agreement between the Vatican, their aid agency, and our aid agencies together.
It's no surprise you speak with great zeal about the growing Lutheran Church around the world, but I notice you do not really tone that down when you talk about the shrinking Lutheran Church in parts of the U.S., that, you know, we don't have quite as many ELCA members as we once did, and some congregations are down to very low numbers. But I notice that you really don't stray from the mission in your enthusiasm when you talk about fewer members in some churches.
Well, you're right. We were over 5 million baptized members when the merger happened in 1987, and we're down to about 3 million, so that's a significant decrease. And that's a trend that's seen universally among all denominations and in some ways among other religious traditions, that participation in the traditional participation in an in-person commitment to worship and community and outreach is not the same as it was in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And there are lots of reasons for that, and I'm not a sociologist, so I couldn't get into all of them. But one thing I found, really, it's amazing. We know that God can bring good when other people think something could be evil, and God can bring a good thing out of a bad thing. We saw the resilience and the creativity of our local congregations, as well as synods and the churchwide expression during this pandemic, and that people were able very quickly to transfer and to shift over to online or streaming or any other way of doing worship apart from in-person worship. And what we discovered, and we have statistics, is that more people tuned in to worship, and more people who would never dare to set foot in a congregation, it would be too intimidating, were hearing the gospel than they had before. So we're studying that, and the congregations in Upper Susquehanna and your bishop have been hard at work studying this. What does that mean? I know it's a lot of extra work for pastors and deacons and lay leaders, but somehow we're reaching people in this new way. And we also saw that mission support, or the regular unrestricted giving of our people, did not decrease. We thought we'd see a 20% drop, and we didn't. So there's still something there about being motivated and activated by the Holy Spirit when we hear this good news, and there still is a desire to be God's hands in the world with folks. It's just not maybe still, or only, pardon me, only in the traditional way. So I'll speak up for the local congregation all day long.
in one interview, you mentioned that it's where God may be leading us, that maybe that this is, I don't think you used this phrase, but this may be the size of the church right now. It might not be 5 million members. It might be 3, but this is the church, and you know the mission doesn't change.
No, the mission doesn't change. Maybe the execution of the mission might, but the mission must always be the mission of giving the gospel free course in the world, and to speak that. And the Lutherans, we have a distinctive voice within the church and even in the public square. Those who are converts to the Lutheran movement are the ones who are most articulate about the freedom they have felt when they come to understand that it's not up to them to earn their salvation or to make themselves righteous or presentable to God or any of those things. The incredible freedom. And that's something now, as always, it has been life-giving and critical to be proclaimed. So we need to be very clear about that. And I've said before, if it's God's will that there still should be a Lutheran witness to the gospel, then that will continue. But if we fulfilled the purpose or we're not doing the job anymore, there's no program that's going to save us.
I think it was in some of your remarks to the Reformation 500 anniversary, you sneered when you used the word synod or...
That was at a church-wide assembly. And people, you know, they get that, that look, you know, when you talk about church-wide, you know, and the synod and, you know, but they're just all expressions of the same thing. I'm counting on you all, as the rest of the church, to be taking care of business for on behalf of the entire ELCA in your corner in the vineyard in Upper Susquehanna, just as you in Upper Susquehanna should expect that your brothers and sisters across the church will be making sure that the gospel has free course in the places where God has planted us. We're all in this together, is my sense, my belief.
What are you going to talk about in Columbus, Ohio in August, a church-wide assembly? I have the sneer on, you can't see it. But.
Well, I think I hope that people will take off that sneer. That was meant to point out that it's like when you talk about the government, you usually don't like it, but you like your individual church, your individual city council person or whatever. But it's just this thing that's sort of off in the distance. But really, that's us. I'm a member of a congregation. My congregation is a member of a synod, and so that makes me part of all three expressions of this church. I'm working, and we're working along with colleagues here and the Conference of Bishops to try to break down that artificial wall that somehow church-wide is either separate from all the rest of us as baptized members of congregations in this church, and also that somehow church-wide is the only entity within the ELCA that has the ability to sort of promote or bring about new programs. That there are lots of good ideas that happen in congregations all over this church. Some really wonderful, amazing stuff. You know, we want to hear about it at the church-wide expression. And I think that's some of what I'm talking about. That this is a false division that we fall into very often. So. I guess one thing I'd say, it's church-wide with a sneer, is really we've got to stop doing this, and we've got to stop referring to the church-wide expression, those of us who are in Chicago or deployed. That's not the ELCA. It's part of the ELCA. And the synod is not something that's separate. You are the synod. So how do we work on that, particularly now that we've set a goal to engage 1 million new, young, diverse people by the end of this decade.
Well, and last question, really, you talk about future church every opportunity. You certainly have talked about it and will talk about it this summer. What is future church? Share that vision, please.
We had an idea to take a look at this. Things tend to be, as you are alluding to in the church-wide sneer, the synod sneer, we're pretty siloed, and we don't see ourselves as connected. And the mission of the church suffers for that if we expect or resent when any one part of the church somehow is at work or not at work. So we really want to try to, as best we can, to break down those silos and to draw on the expertise of congregations, of colleges and universities, of our social ministry organizations, of our seminaries, as well as the work that our bishops and our synod staffs do, because a good idea can come from anywhere. So how do we make sure that that happens, and we don't wait for or resist listening to good ideas, that we don't wait for somebody else to do it, or we don't resist receiving really great ideas from some other part in the church that's not, quote, the church-wide organization.
Anything else you'd like to add to our conversation? Maybe I didn't ask a question that eluded this response.
I would say thanks to you and all of those who are getting the word out about the church. We're the best-kept secret from ourselves. Many thanks to the pastors and deacons who have worked so hard during this pandemic in isolation and stress and anxiety. Thanks to our members. It's wonderful. And this is a great honor and privilege that God has called us into being in this mission with God. So it's tough times. I'm not going to deny that. And people have gone through a lot. And I'm not going to sort of gloss over that. But nevertheless, God is still God, and the church is still how God has chosen to make the freedom and grace of Jesus Christ known.
Bishop Elizabeth Eaton of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.